This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right now, let's talk to Jason Longshore.
Where's the smoking gun with Atlanta United, man?
It's a good question. And Jason, I asked this question to Mike, and I was like putting him on the spot, but I was like, wait a minute, I got to ask this to Jason. Okay, so how can we be as talented as we are, but yet we're not seeing the results? And I'm not talking about winning matches. That's included. I'm just simply talking about the scoring prowess that we thought we would have at this point. I know it's five matches, but 1-2-2, that's one win, two losses, two draws. Is there a reason that you can point to that says, hey, here's why we haven't been as potent as we thought we would be?
Chemistry takes time. It's honestly that simple. You know, you can bring guys together who have never played together and they don't know each other on the field. You know, it just takes time. Sometimes chemistry falls into place really quick. Sometimes it doesn't. Scored two goals on the weekend. So I think you're starting to see chances be created, better chances be created. I feel like that's improving game after game, which would make sense as chemistry improves. Just converting. Lotte's one of the leading scorers in the league. You're not getting as much as it feels like maybe you should. And some of that is down to price tags on players, which can't really control. And some of that's down to you're creating a lot. So you feel like maybe you should be scoring a whole lot and you're not quite doing that, but it's improving. And you just have to keep working at it and keep working on creating better shots. And I think what I'd like to see more than anything is another scorer start to emerge, or scorers. It doesn't have to be one person, but Lotte Lott is holding up his end of the bargain. You want to see more goals coming from some different places as the attack continues to gel.
Yeah, I was telling Carl from the highlights in Cincinnati, it just seemed like, Jason, the spacing again. I mean, or unless maybe that was the design, but we have a shot on goal which gets deflected by our own player, you know, right to their keeper. I mean, I know that we talked about just trying to – I know there's lanes, as it were, and like,
yeah,
for instance –
that's a super specific situation. Yeah. I wouldn't draw too much into that one specifically.
But do you still feel, though, there's got to be better – just simply better communication when it comes with experience?
No, it comes with time, though. I mean, you know, everybody's got tendencies. Everybody who plays, because just from a very broad sense in soccer team and tactical construction, you need a defense to be very organized, and you can coach that, and you can work on you're here, you're there, you stand here. When I take this step, you take that step. And that's a very coachable element. Scoring goals is the hardest thing to do in the game, and creating opportunities is probably the second hardest thing to do in the game. And it's not something that is easily done through patterns, through, you know, if you take these two dribbles to the right, then I'm going to take two steps to the left. You can't really do that. So you've got to get to the sense that when Saba is on the ball and he looks up, he knows what kind of run that Latte Lott is going to make and then can have the quality to deliver the pass to him. That's just two people. Then you bring a third person in like Miguel Almiron. Then you bring a fourth person in like Alexei Moranchuk. Then you've got your fullbacks. That's a lot of stuff that you have to get in sync. Now, I do think that the spacing has gotten a lot better with Brooks Lennon and with Pedro Amador in the group, because at a minimum, what's happening is with those two guys wide, if the rest of the group is kind of tight together, which can be really beneficial too, where you can combine and play through traffic and have that short passing that we've seen work at times, when you have Lennon and Amador wide, it stretches a defense. Their fullbacks have to stay wider to deal with the crosses that can come from Lennon and Amador. So it at least pulls things apart to where then if you have Moranchuk, Almiron, Saba, Latte Lott against their two center backs and their two central midfielders, I like 4v4 in that situation. So it's creating matchups, it's creating opportunities, but more than anything, it's where you know instinctually what the players around you are going to do before you see them do it. Then you're a step ahead. Then you're that half second ahead with a pass that typically makes all the difference.
Do you think Ronnie Dalla's message is getting through? He said he was pleased with the fact that they had a draw and didn't explain why, and I get it from where he's at, but the message of what he's hoping to get from these guys, do you think that's getting through to them?
Yeah, I think so. I think you're seeing better and better play each week. And look, you got to be realistic going into this one in Cincinnati. You had five center backs called up to national team duty across your first team and your reserve team. You typically don't have five center backs that can play at the first team level, period. They were all gone. Matt Edwards came in and did a good job at center back. He's been a fullback most of the season. Central midfield was the other spot. You were missing two guys, and then you lose Tristan Muyamba, and you have to drop Alexei Moranchuk to a deeper position. He did the job defensively. You brought on Kamen Togashi in as a 10. Not really a 10. He definitely doesn't play a 10 like Moranchuk, so you have to adjust on the fly. What I liked about the Cincinnati game is you were the better team on the road than the home team. You had more absences than they did. You were much more shorthanded than they were. And you don't like that you lost the lead, but you love that you came back to get something out of it. And don't let anybody tell you that because it's an own goal, it doesn't matter. You created the own goal. If the defender, Alvis Powell, doesn't make a touch there on the cross from Saba Lobjanidze after a really good buildup, Latte Lott's tapping at home for his second goal of the day. So you worked to fix the mistakes that led to losing the lead. I think that gives you momentum. I think that gives you a belief internally that, hey, when things aren't going as well as we would love them to be, we can still fight and get something out of it. I think that kind of performance can be contagious.
Hey, before we cut you loose, Jason Longshore, guys, hear him and Mike Conte, of course, all season long with United right here on the game. U.S. men's national team, you know, we got the World Cup coming here in a year, and it just seems like we're going backwards. I know Pochettino is trying to be positive with this, but that was pretty awful.
I'm glad you asked me this last, because I probably would have ranted for about 10 minutes on this one. It's frustrating because it's not about Pochettino, just like it wasn't about Berhalter. Sometimes the coach gets too much blame thrown at them.
Jason, are our guys soft? I'm sorry to cut you off. Are our guys just soft?
I wouldn't say soft. I there's a difference. Like, these guys want to win. You know, I think Christian Pulisic didn't have a great couple of games, but I'm never going to call him soft in that moment. Same with Weston McKennie, same with Tyler Adams. And Adams had a bad second half against Canada. He didn't play well, and he's one of your most important players. I think there's a different level to it that you see from a Panama, for example, who knows they're undermanned. And they're going to have to make up that difference with togetherness and with fighting above and beyond. Canada had that same energy in this game because of a lot of reasons. Canada has been the little brother to the U.S. in a lot of different ways on the soccer pitch. Well, not anymore. I think you're in this really tricky spot with the U.S. men's national team where you are good enough to make a team like Panama decide we're going to sit back and play a 5-4-1 and just defend and hope that we get lucky on a counter. And they did. But you're not good enough to have a team that is even strength with you be afraid of you either. And Canada wasn't afraid, and Mexico wouldn't be afraid. And I don't know then the other side of that where you're not better than Argentina. You're not on the same level as Argentina or Brazil or England or some of those teams that you'll probably see in the World Cup. How can this group handle being that underdog? Can they find that next level of scrappiness, of grittiness, of being able to defend in tight spaces and take advantage of your one opportunity? I'll tell you what I did learn about this group in this tournament. Diego Luna needs to be on the field as much as possible. That kid's got something different. He's got that street ball element to him where it might not look pretty. There were people who said he looked like he was out of shape. I don't care. He's effective. He's not out of shape. He's just that's his body type. He is effective. And you need those kinds of guys. And I thought you saw people respond to the way that he played. I thought you saw Patrick Adjumon really cement himself right now as the number nine for this team. He's a big monster up top. And when things aren't going well, you can send a long ball up to him and let him go fight and knock guys over. You've got to find things like that in these games now for Pochettino where might not be about style, might not be about tactics. It's going to be about winning individual battles. And can you do that with this group? You've got to find the guys who are able and willing to do it. And I think you might need to change up the personnel a little bit more. And that means some MLS guys get into the team and play really well, like Diego Luna and Patrick Adjumon. Cool. It's not about the club that you're playing at. It's about the performance that you give in that shirt. And over the two games, it wasn't good enough from the U.S. men's national team.
Atlanta United's next match, NYCFC, Saturday, pregame at 6:30, kicks at 7:30. Right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And Jason, as always, we appreciate you stopping by, and we'll see what happens against the next opponent here on Saturday. Look forward to talking with you, man. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me. We'll catch up next week.
Absolutely.